Hello, welcome to Backyard Catch. This is Nick Roby. Joining us once again is our good friend Faxon Childress here at ACC Media Kickoff in Charlotte. Faxon, how are you doing, my man?
Doing great, man. Super ecstatic to be here. Had to hop on with my guy Nick Roby here for Backyard Catch. Your first ACC Media Day with Backyard Catch, this is kind of a big deal for you, taking it all in. This is my first ACC Media Day as well, so I think we both kind of got the starstruck stuff out of the way at the beginning and had a pretty dang good day here at day one from Charlotte.
I know. This is... I appreciate it. I really appreciate you being on. It's fun having you here, and you get to see you get do your thing with Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush. I mean, it hasn't been here, but this is the first time. So I guess it's the first time for everybody here, but it's really cool. I mean, you see it from afar. You see it from thing. It's just, it's a pleasure and honor to get to do this and get to see it and just see people face to face. And yeah, it's just, it's kind of a little surreal. You kind of have to get used to, you see people from online, you see people on the radio, and you just see them face to face, and you're just like, obviously they're a person, but just you're getting that more of the interaction. So it's an adjustment, but it's a fun one, you know? So we, I'm happy to get to have him on. We just wanted to talk through like kind of our reaction to day one.
Right.
There was a big full day. It's already, you know, evening after everyone's gone. We had the commissioner forum, we had Florida State, we had Georgia Tech, and we had SMU. So I guess Faxon, just the bigger picture, what kind of stood out to you from your first day at Media Days?
Man, first of all, just such a surreal experience here at ACC Media Day. It's at the Hilton this year instead of the Westin. Mm-hmm. I think they've done a fantastic job with the setup, very aesthetically pleasing. They've got treated us so well on Radio Row with a great spot. And it's just really been a great event. So they made a great first impression on me. And I think some of the unique things with the access to some head coaches, to some players. I know Brandon did such a great job coordinating everything day one when it mm-hmm. comes to all the interviews and keeping everybody organized. So it was overall just such a great experience. I don't have enough positive things to say about day one, to be completely honest with you, but from the football and the sports perspective, obviously, we got SMU, we got Florida State, we got Georgia Tech today, so being able to mm-hmm. kind of hear from all three of those different schools, and, you know, we didn't get really any direct contact with Florida State per some things going on with Florida State and seemingly a beef with the Clemson media or not wanting to speak with the Clemson media, but we did get to hear from Mike Norvell, which I know you were very tapped into that press conference and a couple other players, so yeah. Overall, just such an unbelievable experience here for day one, and can't wait to get back after it tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's super fun. Obviously, it's talking season. This is the big conglomerate. If you're like, what is all this? It's the big event where the ACC and other conferences do it too, but everyone comes together and everyone gets to share. There's teams that come on specific days with specific players, so everyone's really excited, very passionate about their team. Obviously, everyone's very high on their team. And what makes, I think for me, which is intriguing, is you have some, there's already these storylines coming into this. You have three new teams. You have some of the legal battles going on. You have some of the revenue things that are being talked about. But then also, like, there's no divisions that were last year. But there's all these different elements to it. There's so much to talk about that you're even just trying to, like, you're drinking from a hose, and it's really fun. So, yeah, I've loved it. I figure let's kind of get started. Let me talk some ball a little bit. We can talk with Florida State first. I mean, they're probably like, it seems like how they've kind of planned it out, there's been like a strong favorite on each of these days, kind of spreading it out. Florida State feels like the big favorite. What's kind of your like takeaway from Florida State and their whole just pressure and just like your feel for the Noles this year?
Yeah, man, I honestly think that this is the most overrated team in the league headed into the season.
Okay.
I'm not going to come on Backyard Catch and not get my opinion. Come on now.
Coming strong.
But yeah, going straight for the jugular, but in all honesty, William Quackenbush and I talked about this extensively today on Out of Bounds, and we're in a similar ideology that Mike Norvell has a lot of production to replace, and the players that he replaced, some of these superstar talents, such as a Jordan Travis at quarterback, such as a Keon Coleman and a Johnny Wilson on the outside, and such as a Jaheim Bell at tight end and a Trey Benson at running back. I mean, you run through five players at the most five key and important positions on offense at those skill positions. And Florida State, I feel really comfortable saying that they downgraded at a lot of them. And relating to the wide receiver room specifically is where my concerns start to creep in, because you don't have a player that returns on this roster that is experienced and proven at the Power 4 level. And I think that's a big problem for Florida State headed into the upcoming season because of who's playing quarterback for them.
Yeah.
Jordan Travis was an unbelievable kind of project, if you will, that Mike Norvell took on, slowly and steadily developed over the course of a couple of seasons. And obviously last year was the focal point and the main reason that they went 13-0 in that regular season and unfortunately suffered that tragic injury that wasn't really able to complete that season in the way they wanted, with them getting snubbed from the college football playoff. But Travis was such a big part with his ability to escape from the pocket and make plays down the field to those frisbee catching dogs, is what I like to call them, on the outside, and Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson. And Clemson got a heavy taste of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Keon Coleman had that game winning catch in overtime, and I would honestly say that he was the main reason Florida State won that game. So not only are you replacing those two frisbee catching dogs on the outside, but your quarterback has played 4 years of college football and has zero track record of elevating talent around him. Last year at Oregon State, he had a good year. 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, a little over 2,800 passing yards, if I'm not mistaken. But if you go back and watch that tape, within Jonathan Smith's system, he's not being asked to do a whole lot. I mean, this is a completely different scheme, a completely different system than what he was running last year. And what we saw at Clemson was when DJ's more in the shotgun and being asked to do a lot and being asked to, you know, push the ball down the field and make reads and really settle in and make quick decisions. That's not something that has ever been his skill set or his strength as a player. So for me, I have a lot of concerns about Florida State. I think that the offensive line is going to be a top five unit in the league. I think the defense is going to be a top three unit in the league. With their schedule, which is up there with the upper echelon of toughness in the ACC, I'm not 100% sure that they're going to be able to replicate the success they had from last year. And I saw that their win total is a 9.5. I feel really comfortable saying that I think they're going to go under that. And I don't think that they're a top two team in the ACC, even though they're the overwhelming favorite as of right now to win the league based on the Vegas odds.
Yeah. No, I mean, come out here strong. I love it. I mean, we want opinions. We want takes. We want, thoughts out there. It's tough for me with Florida State because they are, they were the undefeated team last year, and they won the league, and arguably a strong argument was still made. They still have a little bit of a taste in their mouth from missing out on the playoff. But like you said, they replaced a lot of positions. And you can do that, but it's hard to be consistent in that. And I think they can still be a good team. It's just the question is, will they take that next level? What that's going to look like? Even pulling up, with DJ stats being reminded, he had some good numbers, but he only threw for 57%.
Yeah.
That's good, but it's not like...
He completed 60 less passes last year than he did the previous year at Clemson, and a big part of that is because he wasn't asked to do a whole ton. I mean...
It's different,
We're going to talk about Miami over the course of this week. Miami has Damian Martinez, who I voted today to be an all-conference running back in my preseason polls in the ballot that I submitted.
He can play.
Yeah, he can play. So DJ had an elite run game to rely on last year at Oregon State. He was with a coach that is proven and established. And hey, Jonathan Smith went to Michigan State, Nick. I mean, he took Aiden Childs with him. He didn't take DJ Uiagalelei with him, and he probably had the pick or the selection of both of them, and he took the younger talent with more upside that DJ was actually benched for in the middle of games a couple times last year. All of these narratives seem to be glossed over by the media. Everyone wants to put Clemson in the dirt and blame Clemson for the DJ Uiagalelei experiment that, let's be honest, was a failure at Clemson based on what the previous standard and what the expectations were. Now, you won 10 games, you won the ACC in one of those seasons, and an ACC title game where DJ was benched. There's a common theme here. We have a 4-year sample size of who DJ Uiagalelei is as a football player, and none of it has been overwhelmingly good. He's been an above average quarterback the last two seasons based on what the box score stats look like, but there's no proof of concept with him elevating players around him. There's no proof of concept with him being able to succeed in a system that's similar to Mike Norvell's. And for me, I have a lot of hesitations with this Florida State team due to their inexperience at wide receiver and due to DJ's track record as a collegiate quarterback.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, and I think it's fair to question. And then they could prove, they could prove us wrong, they could prove you wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what the season's for, right? But I think just to assume that we're going to have all these variables come in and be different. I mean, it's me, the third different offensive coordinator for DJ, or third different system he's learning in a new year, and it's a little bit more spread, and he can run, but he's a different type of runner than even Jordan Travis, and he had skill sets around him, but we will see. I mean, he is a veteran leader, and seeing they talked well about him. It was a little interesting to me that he didn't come for AC Media Day, and it seemed like he was asked. So I don't know anything. I was like, oh, it's a little bit of a bummer that he didn't get to be here. So it just could be interesting to hear from him. But yeah, they have a lot of pieces to replace, and I think that's the thing, is we've seen those pieces come together, but it's still a lot. In the schedule, it's interesting for them. I know I heard y'all talking about it earlier, but they start out with Georgia Tech in Dublin. And I think a lot of people are just assuming that's a win. I don't know if it's like, you know, I mean, I don't want to steal your thunder. I don't know if it's that's an assumed win. And that's not an easy. It's not easy to go play a neutral site and then go across the pond to do it. And then, you know, you got Boston College right thereafter. They go to SMU for SMU's first ACC game.
Yeah.
You don't think they're going to have that game circled and ready to go? And then they host Clemson after. They go to Notre Dame. It's not a conference game, but, like, there's more questions on the schedule than you might think of, like, just penciling them in.
I mean,
is what I'm saying.
The schedule poses a lot of challenges. I would say that it's the second or third toughest schedule in the ACC headed into this upcoming season. And I think that a lot of the breaks that they get with timeline on the scheduling, as you kind of alluded to, Nick, really pose a lot of challenges going forward for Florida State. I think Georgia Tech's winning week one in Dublin. Me and Kwok both came out and said that today. And I said that a couple weeks ago on the Roar as well, that I thought that week one game was going to be a Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket win in Dublin. We got a chance to talk with Brent Key, and we'll talk some more Georgia Tech football a little bit later in the pod. But, yeah, man, this Florida State schedule is daunting. They have to go on the road to Notre Dame. They have to play a lot of different teams that are really going to pose some challenges, including Miami, including Clemson, and a couple others. So, for me, it's really hard to buy into the fact. I like Mike Norvell. He's an offensive genius. I genuinely believe that he's
such a Duke coach.
I think he's such a fantastic head coach, and I think that what he's done in Tallahassee has been more than impressive. Obviously, last year was just so unfortunate with how things broke with the Travis injury and potentially being robbed of that college football playoff appearance, or that's what most believe. But at the end of the day, it's a personnel game and it's a player's game, and players have to make plays. And I have a lot of questions about the quarterback. I have a lot of questions about the wide receivers, and I have a lot of questions on if the defense can perform at as high of a level as they did last year, being headlined by a Deloach, by a Verse, by a couple of these key guys that they lost. I mean, these are NFL talent. They lost, I think it was Don that said earlier today when we were talking a little bit about this, they lost 12 dudes that are projected to be in the NFL this year. And it's just like, this isn't a Florida State thing. For any program in the country, that's going to be hard to replace.
It's a lot.
So there's a lot of missing production there, and obviously the time will tell and will be proven right or wrong by the end of the season. But at the end of the day, a challenging schedule, significant loss of production at multiple key positions, and your replacements were admittedly a little bit underwhelming. Let's not ignore that DJ Uiagalelei was not Florida State's first choice in the transfer portal at quarterback. There were two or three guys that ended up going to other places, including Will Howard, who was a guy that was linked to them for the longest time, ends up going to Ohio State. Cam Ward was someone that Florida State was the front runner. Well, guess what? He chose the other Florida school. So DJ was at best Mike Norvell's third option, and it felt like a little bit of a settle, to be frank.
Yeah. I mean, time will tell. I mean, it's very interesting. There's a lot of storylines, and I'm sure that more will play out within the future. So I want to make sure we get to hit on all these teams. I'm going to transition us to the SMU Mustangs. We got to hear from a couple of these guys, got to hear from Rhett Lashley. You know, it's their first time, the boys from Texas, they're coming in. For me, I mean, I want to ask your thoughts. For me, I was impressed with them. I think people haven't been talking about them as much. Like, people are talking about the three teams that are that are coming in, but I just haven't heard as much talk about SMU specifically. And I was impressed. I don't know if they're necessarily going to like make the championship game or not, but I liked what I saw. Like, what were your thoughts on them?
Yeah, you know, SMU's in an interesting position, making that G5 to P4 leap. I think that if there's any team to do it out of the trio of Cal, Stanford, and SMU, it's clearly SMU.
Yeah.
I mean, this roster, Quackenbush and I talked about this extensively today, this roster returns a ton of talent, an absolute ton of talent headed into this upcoming season, including, I think I want to say it was their top seven receivers. They returned their quarterback, Preston Stone, who's poised to be one of the best players in the league year one at SMU.
Yeah.
They return a couple offensive line starters. Admittedly, that's the one position on the offense where they're shifting a few things around, but
sure.
Their development's been great there. Their offensive line was top 20 in the country last year. I have no doubts that they'll be an above-average unit there again. And then on defense, I mean, I think I want to say that Kwok said earlier they're returning their top seven tacklers. I mean, the amount of production that is being returned, and yes, you'd like to think, hey, they're coming from a group of five, but I'm telling y'all right now, this team can put up points on anyone in the country. This isn't a rollover game for anyone. I do think you have a little bit of caution with making that G5 to P4 leap, but on the same tangent, if there's anybody that has the talent on paper and is slated to be able to make a push towards contention year one in the ACC out of that trio, it's objectively speaking, it's SMU.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's obviously the big question, right? Is it's been like 30 years since they've been in like a quote-unquote power league, and they didn't hide from that. They feel confident. I mean, quote, Rhett Lashley said, we're the best team in Texas, and we believe that, and they're confident, and like they understand that there's a jump being made. They said 13 of their 20 transfers were offensive and defensive linemen, so they definitely have been trying to emphasize that. But like you said, and it's something I pointed out too, is them, along with Georgia Tech, they're both top 10 in returning production, and that's a big number. It's not just like returning starters, it's like returning production and what they're using for. Preston Stone, you're going to want to know that name. If he can stay healthy, he's been one of the top quarterbacks in the league, and if they can protect him, I think that's the big thing with them. And they have an advantage of whenever a team comes to their place, no one's come to them. They have to travel away. No one's come to them. You're a little bit of like, they don't know what to expect. So I don't know. It's very interesting. And like we said earlier, their first ACC game isn't until Florida State at home. They get about five games. Yep. So you can build momentum into that. And you never know if they beat the rival TCU, if they beat Florida State, Louisville's tough on the road, but you can build a lot of momentum into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they're definitely one of the more polarizing teams out of the upcoming season. I'm interested to see what Coach Lashley is able to accomplish. I know they're going to put up points. Interested to see if that defense can adjust to that Power 5 level, and Kwok and I were running through it. So last two seasons for Rhett Lashley at SMU, I want to say that I have these numbers correct. 18-9 record, 0-6 against Power 5s. That's my biggest concern as of right now, is the track record against Power 5 competition over the past two seasons. It'll be interesting to see if they can turn that page, because it's going to be a gauntlet playing them every single year, or playing them every single week, rather, when you get into that conference slate. Yep. But definitely one of the more intriguing teams heading into the upcoming season, and as Don Munson called them today, a dark horse in the ACC.
I agree. You don't want to sleep on them. Yeah. And we can conclude with the final team today. This is actually, I think, the lightest slate, which is crazy, of teams and just in the numbers. But we're going to end with Georgia Tech and Brent Key and the Fighting Yellow Jackets. I'm going to give you the floor a little bit. You guys got to talk with him directly. Just what was your takeaway?
I love
from
Brent
him?
Key, bro. Yeah. Like, I love Brent Key. I think that in collegiate athletics, we need more Brent Keys from a perspective of he's passionate about the university, he's passionate about the fan base, he's passionate about his kids, and on top of that, he's passionate about college football as a whole. And getting to kind of speak with him and do that interview over the course of 10 minutes, and about 5 minutes after, he stuck around and actually just chatted it up with William Quackenbush and I, which was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's awesome, man. I am all aboard the Brent Key train in the flats. Now, I will say, this is the toughest schedule in the ACC, and they're up against the odds in a lot of these games, but people forget they had, number one, he called on Out of Bounds, he called Haynes King the best quarterback in the ACC today. I think that he's okay. Up there. I gotta be honest. I think that he's up there. I think he's better. Cam Ward's getting a lot of hype. I think Haynes King's better than Cam Ward.
Okay.
When I watch Haynes King on tape, I see a dynamic talent. And when I watch Jamal Haynes on tape, who's their starting running back, I see a dynamic talent. This was a top 10 rushing offense in the country last year. This was the number one rushing offense in the ACC last year with over 200 yards per game. All of their receivers, for the most part, came back, and they've got dynamic weapons on the outside that are capable of making plays. And to expand on that, the most important thing was firing the entire defensive staff from last year. And not the entire one, but the majority of which. And it was because they were outside of the top 100 in almost every single category defensively. This defense was a dumpster fire last year, to put it politely. They bring in a new defensive coordinator. They bring in a whole new slew of assistants. They've changed their system to a 4-2-5 base. They need to be an average defense in 2024. If they can be a nationally average defense, it's going to be a really freaking good year in the flats in Atlanta, because this offense, and this is the logic that Don Munson said earlier today for SMU, I want to apply the same logic to Georgia Tech.
I think it applies, yeah.
If Georgia Tech can put up 30 points per game, that's where I'm expecting them to be. I'm expecting them to be in the 30-plus point per game range. You're going to have to score 30 on Georgia Tech to beat them consistently. And I think Florida State better be really careful in week one, because they're a weird turnover or two away from that game getting spooky. And as I said in the past, I think Georgia Tech's going to win that football game. I think this is one of the most underrated teams in the country coming into the season. And I think that they're going to be able to continue to sustain that offensive success under Brent Key. I'm really a big believer in him as a leader. I'm a big believer in him as a recruiter. And I think Georgia Tech has their man. Now, it's a tough place to win. right? You're the little brother in your own state as of right now because of what they've been able to do in Athens and in the ACC. Let's be frank, over the last decade, they've been a little bit of an afterthought. But if there's somebody that's going to turn that around, it's going to be Brent Key because of his passion for the university, because of the positions he's putting his players and his assistant coaches in to succeed. And he's not afraid to make the big boy move like he did this offseason with revamping that defensive staff because what they were doing last year wasn't working. So regardless of the daunting schedule, this is a Georgia Tech team that I really believe in, especially on the offensive side of the football, and I think it's going to be a bright future in the flats if Brent Key is the guy long term.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's hard not to miss the momentum that's going with Georgia Tech, and I think that's the thing with them is you really want to see that they're able to continue to build on the success, and I think that's the thing that I know Josh Pate talks about this a lot on, like with Late Kick. Success isn't always linear, right? It's not always like, okay, you know, this many wins equals this many wins in the future, but where Georgia Tech is now compared to a couple years ago, like he was the interim and the team played well, they rallied behind him, he's a Georgia Tech guy, which you can't understate that.
Like, yeah, you can't take away that emotional connection.
That's a big deal. He talked about being in the ACC for almost 30 years. He like mentioned it in his press conference, like just supporting the just supporting the conference. He really believes in this, and I think it takes a lot of gumption to also be like, hey, we need to make a change. Like, defensively we need to get better, but offensively, you're right, like, you don't want to sleep on them, and if they can hold people down, you never know. And in turn, if they can create turnovers, it's totally different. And schedule wise it's similar to SMU. They get Florida State to start, but if they can build some momentum into the bye week, maybe say they're 4-1 going into the bye week, I mean, that's, I'm not saying that's a done deal by any means. Even 3-2.
The end of their season is where the beginning, tough. They got to start strong. That's the key for Georgia Tech, because your last five games are Notre Dame in Atlanta, at Virginia Tech, open date Miami, open date NC State, at Georgia. You're going to probably play five straight ranked opponents in your season. And hey, Brent Key has better success than anybody in the country the last couple years against the spread and with these outright upsets that they continue to pull. So I'm not counting them out in any of those games. But for me, if I'm a Georgia Tech fan, I think you need to start the season 5 or 6-0, maybe even 7-0, if you want to have the type of season that you want to have from a national perspective and success. Now, their win total in Vegas is 5. I think that's absolutely ludicrous. I think they're starting the season 5-0. I really do. And at minimum, I think they're starting the season 4-1. I think that this team is better than Louisville. I think that this team is better than Syracuse. I think this team is better than Duke. I think they're better than North Carolina. And I understand that the schedule is daunting, so the win-loss number can get skewed. But I submitted my poll today. I think I had Georgia Tech 6 or 7 in the ACC. And I'm expecting for them to win 7-plus games and shake out towards that upper half of the league. I'm really just such a big believer in what Key has done with this program. I'm such a big believer in the future. And getting to chat with him today just reaffirmed everything I already believed about this team and program headed into the upcoming season.
Yeah, and they're big markers. I mean, you get to play Dublin with Florida State. You play Notre Dame in Atlanta. That's going to be nationally broadcasted.
Yep.
You don't get Clemson, which, I mean, like, you play a daunting schedule, but you don't have to face them when it comes to the standings. So you never know. I mean, if you build momentum, we've seen these kind of things happen. So really fun from the Yellow Jackets. Quickly, before I let you go, who's one team that we haven't seen yet that you're excited to hear from?
You know who I'm going to say, Nick Roby. It's Virginia Tech. I mean, this is the team. I voted them second in the ACC today. I have them in my ACC championship game. I like to refer to Brent and Brent at Virginia and Georgia Tech as the Brents. I'm high on both the Brents coming into the season. And Brent Pry is another guy that just has done such an unbelievable job in such a short time at Virginia Tech. The tail end of last season was so impressive to me. This was an offense that was absolutely dynamic, that averaged almost 225 yards per game on the ground after Kyron Drones became the starting quarterback. They started 1-3. They shook it up with the quarterback, and Drones is absolutely dynamic and unbelievable. We want to talk returning production. Number one in the country in returning production for Virginia Tech coming into the season.
Yeah.
Multiple of these guys are NFL starters. I mean, they've got NFL talent on both sides of the ball. Their rushing attack is going to be dynamic. Can Drones take that next step as a passer? And can Virginia Tech handle their business? And what I mean by that is, you look down this schedule, It's one of the weakest in the entire ACC. You start at Vanderbilt, Marshall at Old Dominion, and Rutgers. There's no excuse for Virginia Tech, given the amount of talent that they have, to not start 4-0.
You need to be 4-0.
You need to be 4-0 headed to the Miami game. And if you lose that one, that's understandable, but I think that's a ranked matchup, and I think that's a big game. At Stanford, that needs to be a win. Open date. Boston College and Georgia Tech, you get both of those games at home, and then you're at Syracuse. All three of those games are extremely winnable to me when I look at this Virginia Tech roster and what they're doing from a schematic perspective on offense. And then you got Clemson, and that's going to be a big game. Blacksburg is going to be absolutely fired up. I have Virginia Tech at 8-1 headed into this game against Clemson. I don't know whether they're going to win or lose it. They're probably going to lose it. But after that, you have an open date to prepare for Duke, and then you have Virginia. To me, there is a clear path to 10-2 here. I think it's enough to get into the ACC championship game, and I think everybody is sleeping to the max on this team. Their win total at 7.5 makes no freaking sense to me in any world. I don't understand how this team is continuing to be slept on. I don't understand how this team is continuing to be picked in the middle of the pack, and I understand to an extent what the hesitations are from the defensive perspective last year. This was the 4th-ranked team in the country in pass yards allowed per game. This is the 16th-ranked team in the country in yards per attempt. They are keeping the ball in front of them. Their issue last year was that their run defense was a dumpster fire, and that was a problem more due to injuries than what their personnel looked like as a healthy grouping. Sure. This team finished 5-2 in their last 7 games of the season. Their only 2 losses coming on the road to a ranked Louisville team and at home by 7 to a ranked NC State team. They made the building blocks and the strides that they needed to see. They capped it off with a really impressive bowl game win against UCF. And we can talk about this more in the coming days. This is the number one team I have my eye on headed in the upcoming season. I would be shocked. I would be absolutely floored. I would think it's unfathomable that this team doesn't win 8 games at the absolute minimum. I see people picking this team at 6-6. I see people picking this team at 7-5. I think that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. And I hate to be crass, but to me, it is so obvious the leap that this team is about to make. They are returning the most production in the country, Nick. They have a dynamic playmaker at quarterback. Yeah. They have 3 guys out wide, 2 of which are NFL guys, and another guy is an elite college player. Their running back room is loaded. Their defense in the secondary is loaded. Their front 7 is improved. Their schedule is weak. All of the stars are aligning for Brent Pry's group in Blacksburg to make a shocker run at the college football playoff, and I think they're going to do it. I genuinely believe with every fiber of my being that they're going to do it and at minimum make it to the ACC championship game. I think that this team is better than Florida State. I think that this team is better than Miami. I think that this team is better than NC State, and I think this team is better than Louisville, and those seem to be the 4 that people are putting in the ACC championship game. This is arguably the best team in the league to me headed into the upcoming season, and I think you're looking back in Charlotte in a couple of months, and it's going to be a scenario where it's Clemson-Virginia Tech rematch for a chance to go to the college football playoff. And let's double down, let's triple down on the hot take. I think there's a chance both of these teams make the college football playoff regardless. I think if there's a way for the ACC to get 2 teams in, it's going to be Clemson and Virginia Tech.
Well, you make a very compelling argument. I don't know if I'm quite all the way there yet, but
I don't think anyone's quite all the way there
but
yet.
This is what I love about you, Faxon. You do your research, you do your homework, and you make a stand, and you're like, I'm going to go with it. These are the team, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
If I'm wrong, I'll be the first one to own it.
Yeah, but you're going to go for it, and I appreciate that about you, and you're ready to go. I love it. I love that you submitted your picture
ready.
I love it.
I'm ready to go with Brent Pry. I submitted my poll today because a lot of people wait till Thursday. I just want to go with my gut. My gut's telling me Clemson, Virginia Tech. It's been telling me that for 3 months. I was talking about Virginia Tech going to the 2025 college football playoff in April on the Roar. I believe in this team. I thought that the end of last season, what I was watching with my own 2 eyes was unbelievably impressive to me. This drone, I picked drones as my preseason player of the year today. I might be the only one at this conference that's going to vote for that. We'll get to see the official numbers after the fact, but I picked drones to win the conference player of the year. I picked drones to win the quarterback of the year, and I think Virginia Tech is second in the league with Clemson as my champion because I do think Clemson's defense, and we'll dive more into that over the course of the week, Clemson's defense is going to be top 3 in the country in my opinion, and I think that Cade's going to take a step forward, and the receivers hopefully can pray to God stay healthy for once. Poor Tyler Grisham throughout all this. This dude gets the most slander of anyone else in the world, and it's all health related in my opinion. Yeah. I think he's the most overhated coach in the country that people point the finger at. So I feel bad for Coach Grish because I think that he's a great recruiter and actually does a lot of great things in the development process, and I'm hoping that this year is the apology tour from the Clemson fan base to Tyler Grisham when you finally get Antonio Williams on the field for a season, when Tyler Brown doesn't have an abdomen injury for the second half of the year and is struggling to stay on the the field, when Adam Randall doesn't have a knee issue that's nagging at him, when Troy Salato doesn't have a knee issue that's nagging at him, and like we can go down and down the line of all the receiver injuries that Tyler Grisham's had to deal with, and the guy has never wavered once in what his stance is. You know what he did? He went and bagged 2 5-star recruits and Bryant Wesco Jr. and TJ Moore, who look like they're going to be some dogs as well. So shout out to Coach Grish. I'm still a believer, and I think that Clemson's got the right guy at the wide receiver coach position, but that's the biggest thing for Clemson this year is can those wide receivers stay healthy, actually start to generate some separation on the outside, because you're going to be playing your starters, hopefully, and Kincaid take that step forward. But Clemson, Virginia Tech, and Charlotte, you can book it. I'll be right back here for that game on the sidelines, and I'm sure I'll be having a victory cigar or something along those lines at that point, because I genuinely do.
You have earned it. If that's,
I believe I'm going to be right when it comes to this.
Listen, and we'll end it with this. There is usually always a team that people have not talked about, and then we'll talk about later in November, December, be like, where did they come from? So you're calling your shot now.
I'm calling my shot.
Virginia Tech, I love it.
To the ACC championship game, 10-plus wins this year for Brent Pry, 2 years in Blacksburg, in his first 2 years in Blacksburg. And I will say this. I'm not saying that this is going to become some dynasty or Virginia Tech's back, but when you look at Louisville last year, they took advantage of a super weak schedule, and they did enough to win games. This secondary is good enough to keep dynamic passing offenses in front of them. They got to stack the box and stop the run. That's the key for Virginia Tech this year.
Yeah.
If that rushing defense can be above average instead of pitiful like it was in the first half of the season, and they made strides over the last course of the season, they're going to be a darn good football team again this year, Nick Roby.
Yeah, I love it. Paxton, thanks for being on.
Absolutely.
Thanks for recapping it.
Absolutely, anytime.
Well, y'all, that was our just reaction and thoughts from day one. There is so much more to come. We have 3 more days of this. It's going to be so much more fun. Thanks so much for listening now, guys. Remember to like and subscribe to the podcast. And for now, we are signing off. We will talk to you later.